Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. Our guest today is Kate Webster. Kate's with the CAC out of McHenry and located on Route 14 in Crystal Lake. Kate's joining us today to tell us about some of the new activities that are coming up. But just a little information in case you're wondering. In 1989, Illinois passed the Children's Advocacy Center Act, which mandates that each county develop a written protocol for response to crimes against children. The intent of this legislation was to coordinate a multidisciplinary approach to child sexual and severe physical abuse. The ultimate goal was to establish child advocacy centers, which would bring these various entities together. And this is where Kate comes in. Kate, welcome to Around Town.
Thank you so much.
So, tell us what's going on at the CAC.
So, we actually have a couple different events coming up. It's a busy time of the year for us. Sometimes people think winter, not as much goes on, but that's when we really kick it in gear for our trainings and our fundraising events. So, this month, we have a training at MCC on February 12th. It is in conjunction with the CAC and MCJOA, so McHenry County Juveniles Officer Association, Juvenile Officers Association. And we are training on how to keep kids safe digitally, right? So everything is digital now. Everyone's on their phones, the apps, texting, all of that for our kids. And so we, as parents, as people that are around kids, we need to know how best to keep our kids safe when they're accessing those things. So those two entities partnered up to offer a completely free training at MCC on February 12th. More information, like about specifics and how to register, is on our Facebook page. If you just look up McHenry County Child Advocacy Center or our Instagram page, we have the flyer on there. There's a QR code that you can scan. It is free, but we do want people to register because spots are limited.
And I would imagine that social media is really a big problem right now.
It is. Yes, it is. It's scary how quickly and how easily accessible our children are. And when I say children, I mean anyone up until right before they're 18. Those are what we would view as children that we would speak to that would come to the CAC for things. And it's insane how easily accessible they are. My daughter is almost 14, and she sneakily created an Instagram account without us knowing. And thankfully, I found out about a week after she created it, because her mom is a psycho and checks everything on on social media and her computer. And so I found it quickly. But even within that week, Her profile was private, so I'll give her that. She listens to some things that I talk about of ways to keep safe. But even with it being private, within a week, she had a handful, if not two handfuls, of just complete strangers messaging her, requesting to be her friend, posing to be, what I'm assuming posing, because if I went and I looked at their profiles also, a middle school child, and it didn't add up that they were actually a middle school child.
And these are the ones that become predators in time.
Right. That's where, that's how easy it is for these kids to start being groomed, right? And if you think about it, especially in middle school, again, my daughter, her friends, her peers, they all want to be accepted, right? Like, that's very important as a middle schooler, high schooler. You want to be accepted. You want to be cool. You want to have friends. Social is number one. And so that's what these groomers are doing, is they are creating that social aspect for them, that maybe they're a boyfriend, maybe they're a girlfriend. I'm using that in quotes, not really a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but that's how it's coming off as. And these kids, they want that. They thrive off of that. And so these groomers are unfortunately really good at what they do.
And, I think people need to be reminded that they feel, well, we're in McHenry County, so everything is safe. Not the case.
No, not at all. I think people are shocked, especially with that new movie that came out, The Sound of Freedom, I think it was called,
yes,
which I have not personally seen, because I feel like I live it frequently through my job. So sometimes I don't watch those movies, but I've heard really good things about that movie. But the one thing that I wish, just from based off what I have heard, what I wish they would have maybe touched on more is that trafficking doesn't only happen in other countries. It's my understanding maybe in that movie it identified that maybe people were taken from the United States and then trafficked in other countries, or, you know, they were in other countries. And that definitely happens, but it's happening here in McHenry County. It's happening in Crystal Lake. It's happening in Woodstock, in Huntley. And what I think people are shocked when I do these presentations for people is most of the time our kids are being trafficked and exploited and then coming back to their own homes. Like, they're not kidnapped a lot of the times, right? They're not bound up in the basement of someone's home. They're being trafficked and then they are going back and sleeping in their own beds within the home that their parents own. And so it looks a little different than what I think we think of when we think of being trafficked.
So you really have to monitor their phones to see what's going on, because I think, if I'm not correct, they try to, glorify these girls, buy them gifts, make them feel like they're wonderful, they're special.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those types of things.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we've had so many cases, more than I can count, that when this child comes in, and we've had it both sides, this child, sometimes it's a boy and sometimes it's a girl. So it's not only the girls. We do think of that more frequently, but it's also boys can be trafficked too. And that's exactly it. These preteens, these teens specifically, will come in. And if you ask them if they were a victim of trafficking, or if they were being trafficked, or if they had been groomed, they're going to tell you a resounding no. Absolutely not. That they made those choices, that that's their boyfriend, that that's their girlfriend, that person loves them. How could we possibly say they're being trafficked? And that's where that grooming aspect comes in, and what you're talking about of, you know, buying the gifts, treating them special, making them feel older than what they are. Because that's another thing. You think back when we were middle school, high school kids, what do we want to do? We wanted to be older. We wanted to be treated older than we were. Our parents were so lame. Nobody understood us, right? And so that's where these traffickers, these groomers come in. They fill that need. And so these kids actually feel oftentimes that they're making the choice to be with that person rather than they're being groomed and exploited. And we just always have to remember as adults, even if it's a 17-year-old, 16-year-old, they cannot consent to any type of sexual interactions that includes photographs, anything like that, with an adult. They can't consent to that. They're a child. They're a minor. And minors cannot consent to anything sexual.
Have you seen an uptick like in 2023 compared to 2022?
Yeah. So even just looking at our numbers from 2021, I want to say we had somewhere between 150 to 200 kids that had come through our door. And now in 2023, we had over 450.
Wow, that's a big jump.
Yeah. And so we credit that to a couple things. We think one, and what we hope, is that, you know, we've been really pushing education to the community the last couple years, getting out there and trying to have people aware of signs to look out for, what to report, really encouraging people that law enforcement would much rather them report it and it turn out to be nothing than law enforcement never hearing about it. So we hope that that's part of it, because not every 450 plus kids that have come in have it turned out to be an abusive situation. But that's where the CAC, you just have to trust that process of letting law enforcement and DCFS and the CAC process determine that and figure out by speaking to the child if there really is abuse occurring or not. And so we think that's part of it. And I think, unfortunately, you know, abuse has always been happening. I just think it might be reported more now.
We want to remind everybody you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station, and we're talking with Kate Webster from the CAC. And Kate, what about your 5K that's coming up?
Yes, we have a 5K, a Mardi Gras 5K at Lippold Park on February 18th. Again, that information is on our social media too. I believe there is a registration. I think that's with Child Options and Advocacy. And so they're the one kind of hosting it and then making us one of the recipients of receiving the benefits of the 5K, what things that are
so let's tell the folks, where will that be held again?
At Lippold Park in Crystal Lake.
Okay. And is there a fee with that, a cost?
There is, yeah. I don't remember the exact cost, but it is on our social media. It's actually all over social media because there's a couple different agencies that are a part of that as well.
And you have a fundraising event coming up in April.
We do. We're busy. So we have a fundraising event in April. We call it BBB. And so what that is it's bags, bourbon, and bingo. We held this event last year.
Now, wait a minute, Kate. That's quite a mix. Bourbon and bingo. I mean, you know.
It's so fun. So bags, we mean like designer bags, right?
Okay.
So we're trying to get the draw of maybe the females. It's more of a bougie event, is, you know, throwing it out with the bees again. So bags, like designer bags, bourbon, and then bingo. So we'll have, I think we have 10 rounds of bingo. And then after each round, we have a bottle of bourbon and a bag that the winners get to choose. So whoever gets bingo in the first round first gets to come up and pick either a bottle of bourbon or a designer bag. And so we do that throughout the whole event. It's so much fun. People loved it last year. It sold out really early last year.
What was your attendance last year?
I think we had 150 people last year.
Well, that's a lot of bourbon to give out.
It is. So we are looking for donations for bourbon and designer bags, as well as if anybody doesn't have those on hand, they want to do monetary donations. We're looking for any of that. It was a very successful, fun event. Everybody the night of last year was asking us, like, are you doing this next year? We really want this, right? Because everyone can be good at bingo. We do a trivia night, and not everyone can be good at trivia.
But how could you go wrong? Bingo and bourbon. How could you go wrong?
Exactly. You know. Like, everyone has fun that night.
And they can get that information on your website, I assume.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to have – that'll be held again at Hickory Hall in Crystal Lake on April 12th. So, yeah, we're putting out the flyer for that by the end of middle of February. Middle of February, the flyer will come out, and all the information will be on there. Highly recommend attending and getting your tickets early, because we did have to turn people away. We sold out last year.
That's great. I think you should remind people that the reason you're doing this is because those funds are being used by the CAC to help in your cause fighting this whole child abuse thing.
Absolutely. So we are fully grant and donation funded at the CAC. And we will speak to any child, like I had said earlier, up until the age right before they turn 18. We've had kids come in the week that they're turning 18, and we'll speak to them as young as 2-3 years old. They just have to be verbal without their parent being in the room. So I always joke I have 17 kids, but I really only have 7, and which is still
only
so many.
Seven. Okay.
Right. But I always joke because my 2-year-old, even my 3-year-old, I may be the only one that can understand them, and so they wouldn't be able to be interviewed until they were a little bit more verbal. But that being said, we'll speak to kids about any type of abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, witness to a violent crime, domestic violence, drug-induced homicide, if they found a parent dead, you know, deceased to a suicide. And so that costs a lot of money.
Do you also have a dog named Apple?
We do. Everybody loves Apple.
Well, let's tell the folks about Apple.
Apple's awesome. She's a trained facility dog. She is different than a service dog. She can go into every interview if a child wants, sit with the child. She can attend court with the child if a child has to testify. She's awesome. Everybody loves her. Even our MDT, multidisciplinary team, they love her. The time that I noticed that the most was during the AJ Friend case. We were highly involved with that, with his sibling and with the FBI and Crystal Lake Police. And there was such an increase, even with our law enforcement and our state's attorney and DCFS, people stopping by the office to just see Apple and get that, you know, support from her. And she loves to work.
And that's the little boy that was found in the farm field in Woodstock.
Yes, absolutely. So that wrecked the whole community, I think. And so Apple was really awesome to everybody during that time.
So now where does Apple go at night? Does Apple stay at the center?
No, Apple goes home with one of our employees. That's her handler. And, you know, when she goes home, she's just a regular dog. She loves playing outside, running around, eating carrots and getting little treats like that. And then when she comes to the CAC, she loves to work. Like, she hates it if her handler has days off. Like, she's itching to get back to work.
Good for her. You want to tell the folks about your HT training in April?
Yes. So we have a human trafficking training in April as well. Human trafficking, like we said, is very prevalent in this community. And so that's actually through the Family Violence Council, through the judicial circuit.
Kate, I'd like to repeat that people don't realize when you say it's very prevalent in this area.
Yes.
That's so important.
It is. And I think that's what this training will help service. It's open to anybody. It will be a full day training at MCC on April 25th. It's free. We are going to have a variety of different speakers there. We're going to have people from a SANE nurse, that's a sexual abuse nurse examiner, from McHenry County speak. We're going to have a survivor speak from Atlanta, who started a nonprofit about covering up gang-related and trafficking-related tattoos. She has a nonprofit there that covers up tattoos for survivors of those. We're hoping to have some case studies. So it's going to be a really good event for anyone that wants to attend.
I recall about a year or so, or maybe a little bit more than a year ago, that there was a fundraiser and you had a mom there with her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter had been abused by the father.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a happy day because on that day, the father was then sentenced.
Yes.
And he went to jail.
Yep.
He received the sentence that day. It was a long sentence. And it was a really an enjoyable day for the mom, the daughter, and everyone that was at that fundraiser. It was really kind of a nice thing because finally, the law caught up with this gentleman.
Well, and that's the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize, too, is unfortunately these court cases, you know, from a child to come to the CAC and disclose until someone is convicted and sentenced can be like 3 to 4 years. And so it can be pretty long. You know, you think of a child, maybe they came in at 10 years old telling us about something that is most likely a delayed disclosure, something that had either been happening a long time or had happened years ago and they're just now telling, they might not be 13, 14 until it goes to court. And unfortunately, a child does have to testify if it does get taken to court or to a trial, because that is the defendant's right to face their accuser, is the way that we'd say it. And so that's a hard pill to swallow for that child, because a lot of times, you know, 99% of the times, an abuser to our children is someone that child loves and trusts and knows. And so to have to face them in court, these kids are so brave and so amazing. And that's part of what the CAC does also, is we're with those families throughout that 3-4 year process. Our advocate is with them, helping them. They go prepare them with the state's attorney to, you know, testify in court. So really just anything that we can do to help them through the process.
You have to be a very brave young man or young lady to testify in something like that. That's very, very difficult, I'm sure.
I can't imagine. I mean, even you think of as an adult, we wouldn't want to go talk to just strangers or up in court about any of our sexual experiences, let alone if it was something that was not consensual. And we know if it involves a child, it's never consensual. And we're adults. And so I can't even imagine a child having to do that. But these children are absolutely amazing. And, you know, we could sit here for hours and hours talking about the amazing kids that we've had come through there. They're so strong. They're so resilient. They're so brave. And we're inspired by them. They're the reason that it pushes us to keep doing what we're doing.
And that's where Apple breaks the ice.
Absolutely. Yes.
Right. Do you want to tell the folks a little bit about your forensic interviews, how that works?
Sure. So our forensic interviewers are very highly trained interviewers to speak to children. Ultimately, what it is to have a child ultimately tell their story in their own words and only have to happen one time is the hope. So rather than a child having to disclose to the police officer, to the DCFS worker, to the teacher, to the forensic interviewer, to their mom, right? Like we're up to 6-7 people. They only have to tell it one time. It's audio and video recorded. It's one-on-one conversation between the child and the forensic interviewer. And it's really that. It's that for the child to tell their story in their own words. Prior to working at the CAC, I was an elementary school teacher. So I'll be honest with you, I thought I know how to talk to kids. That was my job. And then starting working at the CAC, you could not pay me $1 million to be a forensic interviewer. No, thank you. They are amazing at what they do. They are so compassionate and so good at getting the facts out of the child at the child's pace while still keeping the child safe within their own story. It's a very specific skill.
So if these predators are buying clothes for these young ladies, how are these kids hiding it from their parents?
You know, kids are very good at hiding. I think they always find new ways to hide things, or sometimes they don't. Sometimes parents, you know, maybe they're really busy. Maybe they're working a lot and, you know, they're just not keeping track of exactly what their child has. Or, you know, kids are good at just making something up. Oh, so-and-so bought this for me, and maybe it's not that at all. Or on the flip side, maybe mom and dad just don't fully understand grooming and trafficking, and they really do think it's okay for this child to be dating someone, you know, that is significantly older. Maybe that's a cultural thing. They think that's okay. And we know that, you know, a 21-year-old really should have nothing to do with a 16-year-old. They're in very different stages of life, and that could raise some concern. It's a little different, you know, of like a 31-year-old and a 36-year-old together. You have more in common then, but at those teenage years, you really don't have a lot in common with people in their 20s.
So if a mom's not sure and she thinks something's going on, she can call the CAC and she can ask for somebody there to give them advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they bring this is happening or this occurred, what do you think? That type
absolutely.
Of thing.
Absolutely. We have people call all the time. We have teachers call. We have parents call. And they'll just run a hypothetical scenario by us usually. They're like, I just have something I want to bounce off of you. And I will tell you 9 times out of 10, we'll say, go report that to law enforcement or go call that into DCFS. Because the only way a child can be interviewed at the CAC is if it comes through a referral by DCFS and or law enforcement. So we absolutely can talk to parents, teachers, whoever wants to call the CAC for advice. But the only way we become involved officially is if it's a law enforcement and or DCFS referral.
And then that referral would be one that they can then talk to the individual then after you get the referral.
Right. So then that's how we would interview a child. That's how we would start the forensic interview process. And then what we do is we bring everyone together. We then set up the interview. That's when it's a time convenient for the child and the non-offending family member to bring them, state's attorney's office, DCFS, and law enforcement.
So let's remind everybody about your two fundraisers. You got one coming up right away.
Yes.
Let's remind them about that one and your second one in April.
Yeah, so we have a training on February 12th at MCC about technology safety. We have a 5K on February 18th in Crystal Lake. We have a BBB fundraising event that's super fun in Crystal Lake on April 12th. And then we also are participating in a human trafficking full day training that's free at MCC on April 25th.
And that's all on your website if they
yes.
have any questions.
Yep. If you go to our Facebook, our social medias, our website gets updated, but our social media gets updated way more frequently. So our Facebook and our Instagram, if you just search McHenry County Child Advocacy Center for both of those, that is going to be your most up-to-date information. The website is not as up-to-date as our Facebook and Instagram.
Well, just so you folks know that we're talking to a young lady over here that has 7 children of her own.
Yes.
So she has some expertise when it comes to that subject. And it's interesting to find out about McHenry County because most people think, well, we're in this wonderful community and nothing happens here. We're safe. but not the case when it comes to your children.
Yeah, unfortunately not. And I think where that comes is we just all need to be informed. The more that we're informed, then the more that we're all going to be noticing things. And that's how we can keep our kids safe.
We want to thank Kate Webster for being here from the CAC. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio station. Go to huntleycommunityradio.com, contact us for more information, or to go to the show Around Town for your listening pleasure. We want to thank you for being here today, and thank you, everybody,
thank you
for
so
listening.
Much for
Take
having
care.
Me.
Have a great day.